Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, People with a Purpose, Maturity. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 11 and reading through chapter 6, verse 3. About this, we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have become dull in understanding. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us go on toward perfection, leaving behind the basic teaching about Christ and not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works and faith toward God, instruction about baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And we will do this if God permits. This is the word of the Lord.
The second lesson picks up in a teaching from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, the 11th verse. Let's listen again to God's word to us. The gifts God gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of worship this day, for the privilege of this gathering, this fellowship, this body as we now sit beneath the teaching of your word. We would pray, O Lord, that my words might be shaped and informed and inspired by your word, and that my words then might be helpful to shape, inform, and inspire us, your people, to follow after you. This is our prayer we offer through Christ our Lord. Amen. We had an agreement in our family as our kids were growing up that I wouldn't use any of them or any family member in a sermon illustration without first getting their permission. We just didn't want our kids to come to worship on Sunday morning always wondering if Dad was going to use us as a one-off unintended object lesson. So about a month ago, our son Tim, now grown and married with a family of his own, called to say that he had been thinking about that practice, that he appreciated it, and I appreciated his call. Well, with that out of the way, he and Jane and Beau are actually here with us this weekend, so the opportunity seems just right to tell a Tim story. Thank you, Tim. I did get his permission to tell this story. Tim was born 2 months premature. Chris and I were living in Princeton, New Jersey at the time, halfway through seminary, my middler year. He was due on May 5th. He chose to arrive on March 9th. Looking back on the events of that day, it's a pretty good thing that Tim was our first child and that Chris and I were sufficiently young and naive enough not to understand all that was going on when he was delivered, because as soon as he was born, he was immediately shown to us and then rushed out to the intensive neonatal care unit. The reality of the severity of his condition hit home for us, though, as we waited in the recovery room. The doctor came in and said, "Your son's doing okay, but the next 24 to 48 hours will be critical for him. If he makes it through that, he'll be fine. And by the time he's 5, you'll never even remember that he was a preemie. But now it's up to him to start growing." And grow he did. Thank God. I tell you that story because I believe the same can be said of you and me, of us, of the church. We must continue to grow. And I don't necessarily mean that just numerically, although I believe that God calls the church to grow numerically. That's part of the task he's given to us. But I'm thinking of it today more in terms of the growth that is asked of us, required of us, with regards to spiritual maturity Our growth must both be in quantity and in quality. As the church, the body of Christ, we are designed, as our passages told us both this morning, to grow up into the likeness of Christ. Paul here writes in his letter to the Ephesians, the church's purpose, and with that I would add responsibility, is to help people grow spiritually, to grow maturely into the faith, so that the body of Christ may be built up until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. So just as it was essential for Tim, and we would say any infant, to grow, so it is essential in our spiritual lives that we continue to grow as well. It's not enough for us to be able to point to a moment of our spiritual birth if we're not also able to give evidence of some growth that has taken place since that time, a growth towards maturity. I'm reminded of a very practical lesson I learned in eighth grade biology class. The question on the test was, how do you know if a plant is dead or alive? And the answer is, you look for evidence of growth, because that which is not growing is dying. During the season of Lent, we have been speaking about the purpose of the church. And we have agreed, I hope, that the church is called into being in order to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we do that, as we have seen, through worship, through mission, through witness. Next week, we'll talk about the importance of the fellowship of the church. But today, we'll talk specifically about this call to maturity, the call for individuals to grow in their relationship with Christ, and so to develop Christ-like patterns for living. It is clearly the responsibility of the church not only to reach people for Christ, but also then to teach them, to disciple them, to become more Christ-like in thought, in behavior, in attitudes, in feelings. That's what we'll speak of as being maturity, or growing in Christ, or the call to Christian discipleship. One would expect that every believer in Christ would want to grow to become more Christ-like. But that's not necessarily the case. Perhaps then, perhaps today. The writer of the book of Hebrews rather sharply rebukes his readers by saying, "You have become dull in your understanding, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." You know, as Terry read that passage, it was remarkably silent in the sanctuary. We hear a certain truth when we read that passage of Scripture. You've heard the term, the Peter Pan principle, about adults that simply refused to grow up, to take responsibility, to make commitments. You may remember the lines from the musical when Peter sings, "I don't want to grow up, I don't want to go to school just to learn to be a parrot and recite the golden rule. If growing up means it would be against my dignity to climb a tree, I don't want to grow up, never grow up, never grow up, not me." Well, spiritually, we find that some would say exactly the same. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is addressing here. That there are some who are still taking Bible 101 when in fact they should be teaching it. Some who are spending all of their time talking about their faith when they should be doing it. Some who are still acting like spiritual infants when in fact they should be well on their way to maturity. While it's true that milk is very good for us, and bear with me here if any of you are lactose intolerant, you'll still get the analogy. We'll never grow strong until we get to more solid foods in our diet. And so using a bit of, I believe, reverse psychology here in this passage from Hebrews, the writer is not necessarily trying to put his listeners down, what he's trying to do is motivate them, encourage them to move off of their soft, comfortable, spiritual space and move on to the meatier things of God, saying, let us go on towards perfection, towards maturity, leaving behind the basic teachings about Christ and not laying again a new foundation. He's not saying we're supposed to forget those basic things. He's saying those fundamentals of our faith, you should have those down pat now. And now we're going to build on those and apply them in ever new ways. Friends, it's essential for us not to become complacent in our faith, but to continue to desire to grow up to and into Christ himself. This is the call to discipleship. And our TAB mission statement is framed around this statement, that we are called to demonstrate the kingdom of God through worship, discipleship, and service. I believe it was Homer who said, a disciple is one who is in the process of adapting him or herself to a new way of life. That describes the Christian life exactly. As disciples of Christ, we are continually in the process of being shaped, adapted, formed into the image and likeness of Christ, into his character, his way of being, his way of thinking, of living. And that doesn't happen overnight. It happens over the course of time. It happens over the course of a lifetime. Spiritual maturity then has less to do with a chronological age than it does an attitude of the heart, a desire of the heart. And it is the process of transformation as we commit ourselves to abandoning the old way, of abandoning our way, we might say the world's way, and more fully embracing the way of Christ. Simply be molded into his image and likeness. In that, I believe that becoming a Christian is the easiest thing that could ever happen to us. It can happen in an instant. It is simply the saying yes to an invitation that we have been given by a gracious God to know his love and his grace and his forgiveness. Becoming a Christian, though, or rather being a Christian, may well be the hardest thing that we will ever do in life. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It has to come supernaturally to us. The life of discipleship is this continual process of growing up, of changing, of being formed and shaped, of dying more and more to ourselves so that we can live more and more into Christ. So let me offer this Lenten exercise to you. Give yourself a spiritual checkup. Make an honest evaluation of your spiritual condition by asking, is there any evidence of spiritual growth in my life? Am I growing? Am I maturing? Am I becoming more Christ-like in my attitudes or my actions compared to, say, a year ago or 5 years ago? Or whenever it is that I marked the beginning of my walk with Christ. The simple truth is it's not enough simply to be born. We must also grow physically and spiritually, for anything that is not growing is in fact dying. One essential purpose of the church then is to provide a resource, to create an environment where the teachings of Christ are embraced and put into practice, where those of us who are a bit further along in the journey might come alongside those who are newer on this journey, believing that both of us can teach something to the other, recognizing that all of us are moving in the same direction with the same heart's desire. We at TAB are deeply committed to this. Look again at the three legs of our vision renewal statement. Greater faith, deeper relationships, a stronger community. The adjectives we used there, the modifiers that we gave to each of those, speak to our desire for growth, greater, deeper, stronger. The church is called to help us understand that there are disciplines that we can put into our lives that will help us grow in this way. The idea of worship, regular worship, of prayer, of witness, of mission, of study, of fellowship, of service. The list goes on and on of means of grace that are given to us to help us grow into the maturity of our faith. As Christians, we are kind of an already and not yet kind of a people. We are a people in God and in process of both being and of becoming. At times we find ourselves flagging in energy, perhaps getting off track, part of the spiritual walk. But in that, it's not that we have lost our way at all. We are not wanderers, we are journeyers. We know our desire, we know our end in this. Our purpose is clear. We are in the process of growing up, of maturing into the likeness of Christ. So why is this process of maturity in faith so important? Why isn't it all right for us simply to remain as spiritual infants, enjoying the milk that we receive rather than chewing on the solid food of spiritual growth? Why do we need to wander into those deeper spiritual waters when it's really fun just to play in the shallows? Why do we have to grow up? The answer is very simple. As disciples of Jesus Christ, you and I have been called to carry on this ministry. This means that we have been given the responsibility to reproduce in others the life of faith that has been given to us, and infants can't reproduce. That's another biological truth. Only mature organisms can bear fruit, can bear offspring, and that becomes a spiritual truth as well. We must grow up if we're going to disciple others in the ways of Jesus. We must grow up if we're going to echo his call and reproduce this life in others. Elton Trueblood, I think one of the great Christian thinkers of this century, was a professor at the Earlham School of Religion, writes, "The verification of our religion consists in the changed lives to which it can point and for which it is responsible." As we've seen, the effectiveness of the witness of the church is not because of what happens in here. It's by the evidence of changed lives and the measure of our influence out there. A church can grow by leaps and bounds in all of the wrong ways, in all of the wrong reasons. We've seen that happen. But rather than focusing on worship or the service of God, it's so easy to be seduced into idolizing a pastor or a program or the way we worship or something we've done in the past or a building. Or there are many things that can distract us from the central purpose to which we are called. Our focus can become so easily inward rather than outward or upward. And so growth is good and essential as long as it is growth into him who is the head of the church. The church is called to be an agent of change in the world. The change begins first within us individually. Then that change calls us together as a body, the church, collectively. But it doesn't end here, lest our faith become ingrown and shallow. Our faith matures and grows, and then it finds that it exists not for itself, but for others. Individual faith finds expression in the fellowship of the church, and then together we make an impact on the world for Christ. We've been called to be witnesses in word and action to the difference that Christ has made, to the difference Christ is making in our lives. And we do this not by being more and more like the world, not more and more like we would naturally be. No longer children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful thinking, but by becoming more and more like Christ, by growing up into his likeness. Every child wonders, what am I going to be when I grow up? Well, we ask that as adults too, don't we, sometimes? That's the question we as the church, I believe, must continue to ask as well. What do we want to be? What kind of church do we want to be? What do we believe God is calling us to do and be? What are we in the process of becoming? Is there evidence that we are growing more and more into the likeness of Christ? Greater in faith, deeper in our relationships, building a stronger community? As we seek answers to these questions, let us be guided by Paul's words to the Ephesians when he writes, the gifts he gave were to equip the saints for ministry, we, the saints, to do the ministry of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ until all of us, not some of us, but all of us, come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Ask yourself, what do you want to be when you grow up? Ask us as a church, what do we want to be as we continue to grow? May it be our heart's desire, may it be our fervent prayer that we want to grow up to be more like Jesus. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we are a people, as your word says, dull in understanding and so easily distracted. So we would pray today that you would remind us of the importance that we set our hearts on a desire to grow up, to be mature, to grow not just bigger, stronger, faster, but that we might grow up into the head, into the likeness of Christ, so that we might be useful in the work of your kingdom, in this place and around the world. Lord, hear our prayers, individually, collectively, for we are your body in this time and place. We offer it in Jesus' name.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.